Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. Let's talk about it.
What's good, y'all? Welcome to the Real Authentic Growth Podcast. I'm Harold, and I'm doing this podcast to help motivate and help people grow, but also help myself grow as I do the podcast with y'all. Today's episode is about planning on purpose. And today we have with us Rebecca Twitty to discuss that. And I look forward to hearing what she has to say. The question for the podcast is, are you living in purpose on purpose? Let's talk about it. Welcome back. As I mentioned before, we have with us our guest speaker, Miss Rebecca Twitty.
Hey, everyone.
So, Miss Rebecca, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I am Rebecca Twitty. I'm from Sumter, South Carolina, born and raised. Okay. Shout out, Sumter. I'm an elementary school teacher. I teach fifth grade. Yeah. I am a big women's basketball fan. Okay. I didn't tell you that before, but yeah. Dawn Staley, love you, girl. especially USC. I went to the University of South Carolina, graduated in 2019, and been teaching at the same elementary school my whole career.
Oh, that's awesome.
I also am a volunteer youth leader at Grace Life, church that I attend with my co-host over there. And this year I have 8th grade girls, so middle school girls, which has been really fun. Yeah, they're hilarious.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's a little bit about me so far.
I'm glad we can have you on here.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah. Never done a podcast, first podcast.
Yeah, she was very excited. I was very happy to hear that. I was like, oh yeah, we're going to have some fun then.
It kind of started as a joke with his wife, Chanel. I said, almost a year ago, I think, like May, April, it's like, oh, I'll be on it. And then she texts me, she's like, no, like, would you really want to be on it? I was like, oh my gosh, sure. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really cool, like, how it was, like, started as a joke, but I think it had purpose. So
yeah, I agree. You know. I agree. I'm glad you said that it had purpose, because our question for today, are you living in purpose on purpose? So, as a teacher, how do you plan accordingly?
Well, I will say, I think I probably would have had a different answer if I didn't start teaching when I did. So my first year was 2019-2020. Okay. So I got a full semester of, you know, got my kids doing what we needed to do. I was, you know, going to my mentors and stuff, and then pandemic. There was no plan for that. And I think something that, you know, we all realized as teachers was, okay, we don't have a plan, so now we need to make one. So we kind of said this, you know, quote, we were building the plane while we flew it kind of a situation. And so that year, really, we just got in the thick of it, in the mud of what are we going to do for these kids? How are we going to get them to learn? And I really would say that particular year of my career, and then, of course, the second year when we had to teach virtual, but I would say that really made me realize, wow, like everything we do in the classroom has a purpose and needs to be planned out. So something like that really got me to realize, wow, I was almost taking for granted the time that I did have my first semester of teaching. Okay, I have all this time to plan. I can stay after school. I can do in the morning. All of that got stripped away. So I really got to take advantage of the times like after the pandemic ended.
Right.
So I would say that was kind of where I realized like, wow, planning is needed. Mm-hmm. How I do go to planning for children, honestly, well, we have like standards that they have to be taught. That's one thing. But there's also just these intangible things that you realize when you meet the children that they don't have awareness of, if that makes sense, such as, you know, the social emotional skills and life skills. So I would say when I meet them, that's when I start, me and my team, we start kind of working like, okay, what do these kids need? And then we can go from there with like planning.
Yeah.
Kind of start with.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good. I like that. Yeah. My sister, she actually teaches too. She teaches kindergarten though.
Yeah. You know, there's these, it's like a trend on TikTok, like what grade would you never teach?
Yeah.
And then what grade do you teach? And so if someone was going to give me, I would say any of the early levels, but honestly, it sounds like, oh, she's talking about, no, because those teachers in the early childhood, pre-K, kinder, first and second, they have all of my utmost respect, because they're actually getting to teach all those foundational skills and all of the, you know, letter sounds, numbers, colors, everything, how to share. And I usually, you know, I get them fifth grade and they do have most of, they do have most of those skills. So I'm just very thankful for the early childhood. So yeah, kindergarten is definitely a, but it's funny because then the kindergarten first grade teachers at our school, they're like, oh, we will never teach fifth grade. Like, come on, they're fun.
Right.
They are.
They're starting to learn a lot better at that time, at that age.
Independence.
Like, right. Yeah. Gotta have that.
I'm like, go have a seat. And thank goodness they do. Right. They do go have a seat most of the time.
Yeah. I definitely understand that. Yeah, kudos to you. Teaching is definitely, it can be a lot. So you gotta have that drive to be a teacher, I feel like. Definitely.
Yeah, and I didn't mention this at the beginning, well, because it wasn't really about me, but with being a teacher, both my parents are educators as well.
Okay.
And then I have twin brothers. They're younger than me. They're also teachers. So the five of us, every member of my immediate family is in a classroom in South Carolina somewhere, which is, I think, also about kind of talking about my purpose, because I've known for my entire life that I wanted to be a teacher. Not my entire life, like when I was born, of course, but just when they start asking you in the first grade, kindergarten, what do you want to be? Dress up days.
Yeah.
It was always teacher, 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 teacher. Mm. And so that kind of added to that, how I've always wanted to know.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention that, but yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That's awesome. So we're going to play this little game called What's in Your Hand.
Okay.
Okay, so you're going to pick one card.
Okay.
And whatever question is on the card, that's the one we're going to choose.
All right.
We got a two of clubs. So, first question. What is your favorite way to pass the time?
My favorite way to pass the time is watching women's basketball. I kind of mentioned that to you earlier. Yeah. I think with going to the University of South Carolina, 2017, that was when we won our first national championship. And just since then, me and my best friend, to this day, Maddie, we actually were in Dallas at the game.
Okay.
And so that just kind of sparked our, from now, we watch it all the time. And now those players are actually in the WNBA. So we kind of transitioned to that, watching it with those teams. That's Asia awesome. Wilson, of course. Yeah. That's my number one. Aaliyah Boston, all those USC. Great. So watching women's basketball.
Okay. I like that. I like that. All right. So what goal have you given up trying to achieve?
How have I given up trying to achieve? Cutting out soda.
Okay.
I can't do it. I love Diet Coke so much that there is really... I've done it before. Like, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I will be having a soda with the meal. We were a soda family growing up. I don't know about y'all. Like, when y'all went to a restaurant, were y'all water or were y'all allowed to get a little something?
My mom, she always watered down our drinks, so.
Dang. And yeah. I literally, like, we were the soda family, appetizer family. Yeah. We didn't get the dessert. Dad's like, no, we're going home. But, so I just, soda. Yeah, I can't. I know that's, like, silly, but. I have tried, truly, but I just love it so much. Yeah.
You like that, yeah.
Okay.
At least it's the diet version. So that's
some people say it's worse.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why would they call it diet?
I don't know. Aspartame is like the thing that they say is in it. That's so bad.
Okay.
I'm kind of like, well, there's so many other things that I could be eating.
That's facts.
Anyways.
I agree with that statement. All right. So what was the funniest or scariest moment of your life?
Funniest or scariest moment? That's a great question. Oh, this is the rapid fire thing. Okay, probably one of the scariest moments of my life was when I had to leave for college. I would say I was super nervous and scared, and all my friends will tell you the first semester of college, I wasn't really there at USC. Every weekend I went home. Because I was like, oh, no, I got to go back home. I need to be with my family.
Yeah.
Super scary. But I now, you know, of course, I'm like, oh, I wish I would have never done that and left home. But at the time, being in Sumter, I was just in Sumter with my family, who I love. I had my friends. Some of them were staying. And so I wanted to go back and be with them.
I get that.
I would say that. Probably right now, that's probably been the scariest moment when I had to leave.
I understand.
But I'm glad I did.
Right.
Yeah, glad I did.
Understand it.
We, especially even being from Sumter and other small towns, you know, there is this stigma around it that, oh, everybody just stays, or, oh, if you don't stay, you'll end up back there. And I'm like, that would be great if I ended up back there. My family's from there. I was born and raised there. I love it. It raised me, However, I do see the purpose in going away for a little bit of time because I was able to meet some of my best friends. I'm able to make the connections that I have for my job.
Yeah.
And now if I was to go back, then I'd still have those. It wouldn't just have gone away if I would have just gone back. But, you know, maybe one day. Anyways.
I understand.
Yeah, so that's three.
So do you believe in any conspiracy theories?
I feel like it's so funny because I don't know if we're even supposed to be believing.
Right.
It's like, I'm like, no. But you know the one when you're walking, like, don't split the pole?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm always just like, oh, come on, like, get over there with me. Don't split the pole. I'll say something about that. But probably not overall. I'll just, like, say it.
Right.
You know, the mirror thing, don't break the mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Just the cliche ones. But I wouldn't say I truly believe in that.
Right.
Because God is over all of those. You know,
it's more so you've been so used to doing it that it's just natural.
Yes. Or, you know, don't wear white after Labor Day. That's not really a conspiracy theory, but it's just like a thing people say. Have you ever heard that? To not wear white after Labor Day?
I've heard that very recently, and it was the first time I ever heard it. I don't understand.
That was from my grandmother. She, you know, it's this whole around, and it's from until Easter. You can't wear it again until Easter. I'm like, I just want to wear the white pants, please. I don't have any other clean pants. Can I just please? But, you know. Anyways, that's not a conspiracy theory, but just things that we believe, like cliche things that we believe just because we've heard it. I'm like, not everything you hear is true.
Right.
Do some research.
Right. And make sure it's good research. Make sure you know who it's coming from.
Not Wikipedia is what I tell my students. Please.
That's elite. Okay, last question.
Okay.
What simple moments in life do you enjoy the most and the least?
Simple moments. I mean, honestly, the ones that I enjoy the most are just the time when I'm with my friends. We could just be on the couch watching Dance with the Stars, watching a movie, playing a game, and just right then and there, you don't have anything to worry about, but just your friends, laughing, joy. I mean, yes, you may have something in the back of your mind. Oh, I gotta do this when I'm done. But for right now, I'm happy and having a good time. I would say those are the ones I enjoy the most, time with my friends. Simple moments that I enjoy the least, honestly, just waking up sometimes. I know it's a simple thing, but you're like, oh, like the alarm.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I prayed for this job. I know that it requires getting up early. So although I don't enjoy it, it's just comes with the territory. I tell the kids all the time, you know, sometimes we have to do things that we don't want to do as adults, but we do them anyway. And then we just have our own skills to work through the anger that we are doing something or the sadness that we're doing something. So I'm trying to get them to develop those skills right now. Like, unfortunately, you don't want to sit here and do something. However, we do have to do it. It will be done. So let's change our mindset from being like fixed to a growth mindset. Like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
To, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it because it is what we're supposed to be doing at this time. You know, just those kind of wordings, because I really feel like it makes a big difference in the kids.
Yeah.
But anyways, those, the least, waking up, having to purchase, this is not, I guess this, I don't know if this is simple or not, but just like, I guess it would be simple. Filling up your car with gas.
Mm.
You got to do it. I hate doing it the least.
I just want to run out.
Like, man, can someone just do... In New Jersey, you know, they pump your own gas for you.
Really?
I'm pretty sure I'm getting this right. So my friend Collins, he's a friend from college. When he came to USC, if I'm butchering, I don't think I am. No, I think I'm right. I'm pretty sure I'm right. Like, truly said that there's some people that don't know how to pump gas in there because it's just pumped for you. They have employees.
Oh, wow.
So, like, man, we can... South Carolina. Yeah, we can get some jobs.
Right.
Pumping gas. Anyways. That would probably be the two off the top of my head.
So basically, like the people that be in the bathroom that give you some of the condiment sort of.
They have the paper towels already.
Yeah. Like, don't worry. You don't got to worry about that. I got you.
Sometimes when I see that, when that does happen, like in a restaurant or something, like, man, that's a simple job.
Yeah, it's a simple job.
No worries.
Do it, but
yeah, I don't know. Right. But I'm thankful for it, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah.
I get that. So just to go back on what you were speaking about earlier with the growth mindset thing.
Okay.
So can you go into a little bit more detail for those that may have not heard of that? Most people may have heard of it, but if you have anything that can give them more insight on it.
Sure. So it's one of those things in teaching, you know, when you start your first couple years, you you're finding stuff to decorate your classroom with. And there's these posters where it says fixed. This was the first time I'd heard about it. I don't really think I learned about it in college, but
yeah,
it was fixed and all of the letters to print out were black and white. Okay. And then they had growth and all of those letters were decorated with flowers and green and pinks, florals and stuff. And just teaching the kids to, if something is fixed, that means it's unmovable, unchangeable. Mm-hmm. Versus if it's growth, that means you know that you're not where you're supposed to be yet. So there is always like a step you could take. So I and honestly, I don't really use the words fixed and growth anymore. I feel like it's just kind of talking about, you know, the reality of what we're supposed to be doing right now, the facts versus just the things that they don't want to do. I feel like I just have those kind of conversations, and especially the older kids, fixed and growth, you know, it's like sweet for the walls and cute, but with fifth graders about to be middle schoolers, you do have to be, you know, having those real talks with them. Especially, I feel like the students that I've taught, they've had some more life experiences than I have. And so I really just get to be so real and authentic with them. Like, hey, I know that you might be worried about something going on in your family or something going on at home or with a friend or if you, you know, whatever it may be.
Right.
However, what I know, and I know that you may not think education is important, but it really is one of the most important things you could be doing at your age. Like, their main job should be student. Mm-hmm. We actually, our resource officer is completing the DARE program with the fifth grade students.
Okay.
And that was actually a question they wrote in their journals. They had to write, you know, what is their most important responsibility? And then, like, how are they going to take responsibility? I think it's just that, like, showing them how to take responsibility for stuff, accountability for stuff, even if it's something they don't want to be accountable for. Sometimes we got to do the things that we don't want to do to get to the places that they want to be. They have goals. Today was right. Career day. They had a dress as a career they want. Uh-huh. I mean, I saw firefighters, police officers, doctors, you know, of course, some of the boys, football. But you can even take a footballer, a gamer, an influencer. All of those people still need the skills that we're learning in elementary school. You know, they've completed that step. So now their growth might be they're trying to get a master's degree or trying to start a business plan. But where you are right now, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is reading to learn, learning to read.
Right.
You know, basic math thing, you know, learning about the world, how weather works. We're talking about water. So, you know, just things like that. That's, but, you know, some of them want to skip the steps. I'm like, nope, let's come back down here.
Right.
Let's do one at a time. And then when you're promoted in middle school, then you'll get access to more things and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of answer where you're?
Oh, yeah, for okay, sure. That was checking. Good. That was good information right there. I feel like there's a movie I watched. I can't remember what the movie was called, but there was a quote they said in there. And they were saying, like you said about skipping stuff.
Okay.
They said, when you take shortcuts, you get cut short. And I was like, oh, ever since then, I was like, yeah, that's good right there. So I feel like that's very true, especially in my life experience. I took a lot of shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, now I see where I'm lacking at. And I'm like, okay, if I would have did this instead, I could have been here instead. But it's not like regret-wise. It's just more so like insight. Like this time, I'm actually taking the steps that I need to take to get where I want to go instead of skipping and going down the easy road. Because I feel like the hard road is more rewarding anyway. Because you'd be like, man, I did all this and now I'm here. But the easy road is like, okay, I did this, but I don't know how I got here. Mm-hmm. I just went this way because it seemed like everybody else was going this way.
And you know what's funny is you try to tell kids or tell somebody else, could be just your best friend, hey, here's the mistakes I made. Here's what I did. Don't do it. And some listen, and that's great. And then some, you know, they want to go their own way. And that's also too. And I've had to realize, you know, I only have 180 days with these students every year. I can say it, I can model it, I can put into practice. However, like, they have to be the ones to take that initiative to not, you know, take a shortcut kind of thing. And even, and I was even thinking about when you said that, I was thinking about that in, like my relationship with Jesus, and even in youth ministry, you know, now I'm able to share with kids stuff that somebody had also like taught me and that I learned myself. But I realized like there are some parts in, like, they'll ask me questions and I'm like, whoa, like, I don't know the answer. I need to go and like research it too. So I think it's really cool. I don't feel like I took shortcuts in my relationship with the Lord, but there were times where I'm like, man, I'm, you know, just getting into my upper 20s and I've reading the Bible through for the first time fully.
Right.
I kind of wish, you know, kind of what you're saying, like, I don't regret not, but I do wish that maybe I would have, you know, done that earlier, because then now I might have, you know, more answers. But we're always learning as a believer. Yeah. Like, it's a constant back process. But that's, I like that quote that you said, though, about, yeah, I'm gonna tell the kids that. So, yeah, taking a shortcut, you're going to get cut short.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that was a good one. I agree with that.
Sometimes you could tell them that. They'd be like, are you, you know, they want to test it.
Oh, yeah, that was me.
I'll take that shortcut just in case I get there quicker than you do.
Because in my head, and I may be able to relate with some of y'all that may be watching that maybe have that same mindset. In my head, I'm like, you can say this to happen, but then again, you're a different person. The road you went down might be different for me. So I want to take the road for myself see what happens. And, you know, sometimes it worked. Sometimes, most times it did.
And then I'm glad you're talking on that side of things, because I grew up as such a rule follower, still am to my core. I get that from my mom. She knows she's one too. I know she's going to watch this. And we just, I don't know, like, always worried that the second we don't follow that rule, we're going to be getting in trouble. But then I would watch, you know, some of my friends and stuff like, hey, y'all didn't do any of that, or, you know. So I like that we get to talk about both sides. Right?
Yeah.
But I've even said to me, like how you said you noticed that you wish that you would have maybe gone back and done it that way. There are some times where I'm like, I can just relax. Like, I don't have to be so rigid all the time. Like, everything can just be calm. I'm trying to get better about being looser. Yeah. So, two sides.
I agree with you.
Now, it's time for the word of the day. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. What this is saying is you can have your plans, your ideas, your thoughts of where you want to go in life, but it's also wise to seek counsel. People that are already in that vocation, people that's already doing it and has succeeded in that, and that has took the necessary steps to get where they are now. Get that information from them so you can get a step ahead. Don't always think you have to do it on your own. Seek counsel. My challenge for you is to find your purpose. And if you already know it, make a plan for it. A plan helps you know where you're going and how you plan to get there. Plans may change, but at least you have an idea of where you're going. Make sure to look at these over again at least 3 times throughout the year, the beginning, the middle, and the end, so that way you can stay focused.
You have, in order to plan on purpose, for a purpose, I feel like you have to know the purpose, but you also got to have a plan, because if you're not having a plan, where you going? You're lost. And I've been lost a lot throughout life, but you know, Jesus helped me along the way. You know, you still have your mistakes here and there, but as long as you're learning more. Because before, I didn't care. I did not care. I was like, all right, it is what it is. Whatever happens, happens. But now I'm more so like, okay, let's not do that again. Mm-hmm. Let's do better next time. Because now I'm actually feeling the guilt or the conviction. Yeah, there you go, conviction. Not condemnation, but the conviction. I'm like, okay, yeah, you know what? We need to get right. Because this don't feel good. So if you have that going on with you, if you feel convicted, if you feel like guilty, there's a reason why. So you should probably listen to that. Be like, okay, you know what? This don't seem right. So I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop doing that. Now, do you have any suggestions when it comes to, because I know you're in the elementary school, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you're in fifth grade, right before sixth grade.
Right before middle school.
So why do you want to go to school?
Great question. I want to answer that, but then I also thought of this quote when you were talking. It's like if you fail to plan, then plan to fail. I'm sure you've heard that before.
That's Benjamin Franklin.
Okay. Yep. And I, you know, that's so true. So I wanted to add that in there. But
why
have I never decided to go to middle school? I will say I feel the middle school is a different beast of, you know, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, almost high school students. So that the element of more kids kind of made me a little apprehensive to ever try. Technically, I'm certified through 6th grade, so I could. Yeah. And the kids, once I started going to 5th every year, they're like, you going to come next year with us? Mm-hmm. I'm like, we'll see. But also, you only typically only teach one subject, and you teach it 6 times over and over and over. And to me, that requires a lot of planning, not necessarily in planning on what you're going to do, but I have 20 students. I do teach all the subjects, but
yeah.
I know that I'm in control of what I do in the class with all the subjects. 20 kids, only 20 papers to grade. Mm. When I thought about times six,
yeah,
I kind of was like, all right, I think I'm not going to get to this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That takes a lot of planning, yeah. Totally, and I didn't feel at the time, my first year, that I was going to be ready for that. Still at year seven, this is my seventh year, I still don't know if I'll be ready for that. But I've talked to some middle school teachers, and they're assuring, like, it's not as bad as you think it is. You know, yeah. Hopefully most of the kids complete the assignments, so you could just go in and check, or they don't make six and this. You know, but anyways, that was one of the main reasons. I also love the relationships with the families that I develop in elementary school. I feel like once they get to middle school, and then as my dad's at the high school level, and one of my brothers, and then I have one brother in middle school level. Yeah. I just feel like it tapers off with the parent-family relationships. And yeah. I think that is also a part of planning mm-hmm. at the elementary level, that rich relationship with the parent.
Yeah.
Because we always say, like, it's a triangle. You know, the student is at the top, and the parent and the teacher are working together hand in hand so that we're able to be a perfect unison and, mm-hmm. you know, no end. But those are the main reasons why I haven't gone to middle school yet. The grades.
Yeah.
I also know you got to have a lot of hard conversations with students about just peer pressure, drama, the phones. Mm-hmm. They get to take their computers home in the middle school. Yeah. I love that my kids' computers are nicely packaged up in their Chromebook cart in the back of my room. So I think the element of control, I would say, too, I love the control that I have in elementary level.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I agree. That's good right there.
Yeah.
Never thought about it like that. Because I work part-time at a middle school as a student support coach, and them kids definitely they think they know it all, and I'm like, man, you'll learn one day.
I love talking to them. They you know, I get emails from my old students all the time, and it's so funny because when I moved up to so I taught fourth grade my first 4 years,
yeah.
And then I looped, so they told me, my principal, who also goes to our church, by the way, you know, they let me know that they were going to move me to fifth, and they gave me I said, well, would I be able to move with my students?
Right.
She said yes, so I moved up to fifth. That was the best. Those 2 years were the best so far. I mean, you know,
really?
I got plenty of years, but so far those are really awesome because I was able to, I had already developed those relationships with those families, with those kids. We moved up to fifth grade. They knew all my rules. It was like, all right, get in here and get this book open, that kind of thing. But you were saying, oh, middle school. But when I started to teach fifth grade 3 years ago, I started having a lot of conversations with them about that transition period. And they truly, I think some of the conversations maybe are premature because it's like you're telling them, but then they don't fully get it until they get there. Right. So I kind of, my first year, I was like, oh, you know, middle school. I think now I've kind of lowered back on that. And I'll just kind of drop in and every now and then, like, oh, next year, you know, you're going to have six teachers, or next year, you only have 3 minutes to get, or 4 minutes to get from one class to another class. Right. I just kind of slowly say it, but every year, it never fails. The last couple of years, I'll get these emails like, oh, Miss Twitty, like, you were right. And it doesn't give me any gratification or anything, but I just think it, you know, I wish that they would be able to understand in fifth grade the big transition that they're going to have. Right. Or, you know, you go from being big fish, top of the pack, to being just one. And, you know, I want them to have those individual relationships and stuff, but I realize that, you know, a teacher might have 80 to 100 kids, and that may not happen. Hopefully they have at least one, you know, good, solid teacher, or like a mentor, or someone like you that's going there. Hopefully they have someone they can talk to.
Right.
But anyways, when you said that, yeah, it's a huge jump to go from them. And you know, hopefully most of them swim. Oh, there's not a lot sinking.
You're right.
I don't hear from all of them. I hear from some.
So. Right. I understand. That's good, though. So can you say that quote one more time before you had did it? The one by Benjamin Franklin?
Oh, yeah.
Can you say that one more time?
Just say it again? Yep. Okay. So, yeah. When you were talking about planning, it just reminded me of the quote. I can't remember if we heard in a sermon or if I heard it in like a professional development. It's like, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail.
Yeah.
And it's true. And I say, you know, my team from a couple years ago, they're like my closest coworker friends.
Yeah.
They call me type triple A. So, you know, type A, type B. Yeah, I'm triple A.
Oh, man.
Because I'm just so meticulous about my folders and everything like that. But Can they say that we got our plan? Yes. Mm-hmm. So, and we're, you know, but even as a teacher, I will say there are certain careers. I'm sure even like firefighter as well and yeah. other careers out there, you could plan, you could have it by minute, and then you get a phone call in the classroom. Oh, now you got to do something else really quick. Oh, there's a knock on the door.
Right.
Oh, this student needs to go to the nurse. And so things come, so you also have to be willing to be flexible mm-hmm. and able to switch gears at any moment. And I definitely would say that I still haven't mastered, but I'm better than I was my first year. Y'all know I am. My first year, if there was a change, I was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And I'm like, all right, I don't love it, but I know that it has to happen. So I'm going to take it. Mm-hmm. We're going to adjust. If we have to push back, we can push back. And eventually it will all get done before the end of the week. It's kind of where I've switched my mindset now. Okay. The growth mindset.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I like what you said there. So for those type A's out there, what do you feel helped you to get better at being okay with change?
First thing, and probably the biggest thing, is just experience. I think in the role that I'm in, my first year, I just didn't know any better. And so I was just following, you know, what I knew I was supposed to do. And I knew I had what I wanted to do for the kids, their procedures, their stuff, all of that. And then when things started happening, I didn't know how to respond. But now that I've got 6 years under my belt working on my seventh, I would just say experience with those things. I know now, okay, around the fall, we're going to have a picture day that's going to take up some time, or we're going to have a guidance lesson that's going to take 30 minutes. And so I need to plan for that. Just those. Now I know that they're coming. And I would think, so I would say experience with the change happening. And then also it does need to be something where I have a couple of mentors, just people that in my life that I'm able to talk with through it.
Yeah.
One of my coworkers, you know, I'll go to her and I'll explain, my gosh, like this is happening right now. I don't, you know, I'm a little overwhelmed by it. I'm having trouble with it, but then, you know, they can come in with an idea like, okay, have you thought about this? Or okay, right. Have you thought about that? I would say having those kind of people too, that you can rely and lean on, not so much like, it's not to gossip with, it's just to truly bounce ideas off of. I would say having those people, experience with it, time and experience though would probably be my main one. I can be a chiller type A.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Time and experience, that's good. Okay, so I have questions for you from the viewers.
Okay.
So, this is what's on your mind.
Okay.
So there's four questions actually I have for you.
Okay.
So the first question, do you feel like you are living in alignment with your purpose and calling?
Right now, yes, I think I am. I said I did always know I wanted to be a teacher, but even when I got in the classroom, and honestly, after I started attending Grace Life and we kind of walked through like the Grow Spirit Life and learning about, you know, about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit actually works, I did take some time to be like, okay, is this where I am supposed to be? Is this where you want me to be doing?
Right.
That's actually the time that I was a part of a ministry in college, and then a couple of years after college called Young Life, and I love it so much, very thankful for it. Some of my best friends are still volunteer leaders, things like that. But then I took a break when I started grad school. So during that time, I knew that I was feeling like I need to get back into ministry. I need to get back into some sort of serving capacity.
Right.
So it was during that time I felt like I wasn't fulfilling my purpose because I was on a break. And I knew I had finished school, so I knew that. But it was that period of right after I graduated from school, before I started at Grace Life, something felt like, you're not doing it. You should be doing more.
Right.
So it truly was this feeling of I knew I just had that itch. And so I met with Savannah, the Grace Life Youth Director. And then, you know, this is my second year leading, but have felt that back like, okay, you're good. So yes, I do feel like I'm living my purpose at this current stage of my life.
That's right. Loved it.
Yeah.
So how do I go about living true myself?
You?
Not me, the viewers.
So they're asking how do they go
about living true to themselves?
Well, I mean, honestly, the first thing I would say is you need to make sure that, you know, you're finding your identity in things that you're supposed to be finding your identity in. If there's anything that does not align with, well, am I answering this like they're a believer or no?
Either or.
Okay.
Either or.
Okay. I would say, like, for me personally, I'm a believer of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ. And so I know that there are things that I'm supposed to be aligning my life with to try to reflect how Christ lived on earth. And so any of those things that do not align, I'm trying to work through, like, ridding them and, you know, working through not acting out in those kind of ways. So I would say if you're a believer, you have to work on finding those identities and making sure your identity isn't rooted in anything. Because even work, like I said, the first thing I am is a teacher, but really the first thing I should have said is I'm a believer. Like, that's my identity, period. When everything else is stripped away, what am I? A follower of Christ. So for the believers, yes, anybody who isn't following Jesus that wants to know how they can find their true identity, I would say first, I would recommend you can come to Grace Life Church. We're talking about identity right now, like that mental mindsets. And if you're struggling with that, like, there is something out there for you, more if you're wanting more. But also just finding something, like, you know what you're passionate about. You know what you're wanting to get up and do every single day, and just finding, like, a way to do that.
Right.
Whatever kind of stops, whatever kind of calls, whatever kind of connections you have to make, just do it. You don't want to be just waking up every day going to a mundane desk job. You know, just leave if you want to. If this is your sign, leave.
Yeah. I can't remember the dude's name in the Bible, but he was like, everything is meaningless. It's like,
not Ezekiel.
Blowing like the wind.
Yes, just nothingness. Yes, yeah. meaningless. Yeah. I read that a little while ago in The Plan, and
he was going through it.
It's
meaningless. I said, you're right about that.
My dad says, reminds me of what my dad says about, you know, you never see, I might say my dad, but it could be my grandpa. Somebody said, like, you never see a hearse carrying a U-Haul. Have you ever heard that quote? Because talking about, like, I guess, you know, tangible things that we have in this world, possessions, hearse, caring, obviously, nothing is coming with you. Right. Like, all these intangible things are the things that, you know, people are going to remember you for, not the, like, stuff you had.
Right.
And so another part of that is just being kind to people every single day. You never know, like, that first interaction with somebody could affect the rest of how they view you.
Yeah, that's true.
I actually went through a little bit of that. Kind of like during that COVID, like when I graduated high school, going into college, like, man, you know, I may not see some of the people that I went to high school with the rest of my life. And I'm, you know, their view of me might, you know, be not great. And I hate that. But hopefully, you know, they would, if anything down the road, like, know now that, you know, you've grown the person, and hopefully, you know that I've made some growth too. But anyways, you can't be worried about what people think about you. But that's what I would say for the person, the viewer.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
So that was two.
Okay, so what do you feel is an indicator that growth is happening in your life?
Really, like, for me personally, seeing things that I would have never been able to think that I could do or be capable of doing. So, for example, like, forgiveness, I would say that that's, like, a huge thing where I was like, oh, like, I'm growing because I was able to forgive, like, a particular person, or I was able to just... something small that used to bother me, be like, oh, I'm going to say something. Just be like, it's okay. It really is okay. You know, we tell the kids, like, if you're not going to be upset about it in the next 5 minutes or, like, 5 years or whatever the five is, it's either, like, if it doesn't matter in the next 5 minutes, like, let's just let it roll. Like, but if it's really something that you need to talk about, like, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So I would say, like, forgiveness. Also, just I feel like I'm getting a little bit more comfortable with having conversations with people, like, conflict. Because the question, can you say the question one more time? Because I have a point. I'm thinking about it.
What do you feel is an indicator that growth is happening in your life?
Yeah. With the fact that I'm able to have conversations with people that are difficult, and even not something like we're arguing, but, you know, oh, if I have to tell you that you're doing something wrong, or if I, you know, feel like I need to talk to you about something that has, you know, you said that might have upset me, I feel like, and sometimes I weigh it, like, if I should or not. Right. But the fact that I've had a few more of those conversations, I can tell that that's growth, because I usually would just, you know, brush it away or something like that. But just give me, like, hey, you know, that upset me. Or the reverse of that is if people would tell me something that upset them that I said, mm-hmm. I would be like having all these reasons of, oh, I didn't mean it that way, or, oh, you just took it that way, but I didn't mean it that way, or sorry, but, and I really didn't fully know, like, I do want my words to breathe life over people. So if somebody is coming to me saying something, I do need to take that into my own bank, be accountable for my words, and try not to say them again in that way if it did offend somebody or upset somebody. So, yeah.
That's good. Okay, and last question.
Uh-huh.
How have you evolved as a person navigating adulthood? How have you evolved as a person navigating adulthood?
It's a good question. Because I like to say, first of all, let me say, I don't feel like a full adult sometimes, because when the pandemic did hit, I think I was 22. Yeah. And so those like few years, I'm like, man, like that was my real transition to adulthood. And then we just got to go sit in the house. And then now, like, all of a sudden I'm 28 years old and feeling an adult. So I think the transition time period, if I wouldn't have had that pandemic, like during that time period, I probably would maybe be saying something different. But I feel like the transition was rough, but I feel like I was able to navigate it with, again, mentors, having people in your life that have already been at that stage, kind of helping you explain, okay, you know, you're getting ready to, you know, be in your first classroom. Here's some of the things you need to do. Right. And then, okay, you know, my dad and mom, they're my greatest mentors. It's like, all right, you now have a car payment and you have this credit card and here's how you pay the bills for it. And then my first roommate, she was a year older than me, but my dad, you know, thankfully with if you want to be a teacher in South Carolina, the scholarships are there. I'll just say that. So we didn't really have like a ton of stuff to pay, like when I was in college, but then my first year, I was like, all right, you know, I'm paying my rent. And so my first roommate helped me out with figuring out how to do all, you know, it's just, I feel like the transition has been good because I've had people along the way that have helped me. Yeah. I wasn't just like thrown out here, find a job, find a whatever. And I tell the kids, like, and I said it earlier, like, I want them to be able to have somebody that they can rely on to ask questions and things like that. Right. Most of them have, you know, they have their families, but even the ones that don't, you know, a teacher, or if they go to a Bible study, like a youth group leader, or if they go to a sport, a coach, and they go to we have some like Taekwondo, like their sensei or whatever you call him. I just want it to be somebody that can help you with every transition stage. For me, so for me personally, there, for adulthood, there's just been people that have come just at the right time, you know, right when you felt like, oh, I don't know how to do this. Oh, here's this person. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I don't know what to do about this. Here's this person.
So is there anything you would like to let the viewers know before we head off?
Yes. So the first thing I wanted to say, though, is thank you so much for having me on the podcast. This was really cool. First podcast check.
Yeah, I appreciate
you. And I just feel like, you know, I feel like you definitely have found your purpose, and I'm excited to see, you know, where this goes. I was kind of, we were talking about like how they could grow and just the other people you could have on. So just thank you for that.
Oh, yeah.
To the viewers. Yeah. The first thing I would say is, I mean, truly, like, if you are, you know, any kind of like struggling or feeling like there's something else out there, I just want you to know that there is a bigger purpose out here, in this world. And I would encourage you to try to find that. If we can be any help, I go to Grace Life Church in Northeast Columbia and would love to have you there also. But if not, you know, there's a lot of great churches here in Columbia. But anyways, and then if, you know, on the second thing that I would say is that the University of South Carolina, Dawn and her daycare, they're winning the natty this year. I'm going to say that.
I like that. We're going to see if they plan it on purpose.
They definitely, I know they're starting, getting started with their practices and stuff.
Okay,
so
good.
They'll be locked in.
I like to hear that. Well, thank you again. I enjoyed this.
Yeah.
So appreciate y'all for tuning in. Hope y'all can join me on the next time on the Real Authentic Growth Podcast. With that being said, pray y'all have a blessed week. And don't forget, don't make excuses. Work through it. With that being said, hey, we out.
Bye.
Real talk.